everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Podcast. My name is Kate.
My name is Alan. And we are from ReverseThieves.com. So, you know, if you have any suggestions or comments or, you know, things you'd like us to talk about, you can email us at ReverseThieves@gmail.com.
And this episode is, it almost sounds like I was going to say sponsor. This episode is brought to you by the new anime season. Spring 2021. It's full of anime. So much anime to watch. So, of course, we are doing our best to pick some, not all the shows to talk about, but some interesting ones to talk about. Both maybe good and bad, depending. And Al and I have sort of a few that only one of us has watched, so there'll be some surprises. I don't know if Al's picked the ones that he's going to talk about because they were awful and they make it very amusing to talk about. No idea.
I just want to mention before we begin, I forgot to put this in the comments section, but I'll mention it here on the podcast. I figure also most people listening will hear this better. The show that we mentioned, we couldn't remember. I remembered a show that was so bad I had to ask you if it was worse than the worst two shows that we always use as the baseline for worst shows. That show was Plunderer.
That was a bad show.
So that was like one of the worst shows we've seen in a while recently. It was Plunderer. That was the one that was like so bad I had to ask. Was it worse than Yuka no Sora or Handshakers? And you were like, no, it wasn't worse than those two. But those are really like some fucking high bars.
Everyone listening should send in the worst thing that they have watched lately that you gave a try. I want to know.
So I hear that like the new really bad show is X-Arm, but neither of us, like, I think by the time people realized how bad that one was, we didn't watch it because it was made by a guy who only did live action films up to this point and basically made a big deal that, like, I'm gonna do anime better than the anime people because I actually know how to do films as opposed to animation.
A trap. A pit.
And apparently it's like super wretched and like basically people just watch it in like a room like fashion to just like see how bad the next episode is going to be.
Wow. Well, if anybody's watching that, who's listening, please write in and tell us what your experience is.
And the worst part is like Crunchyroll funded that. So it's always up on like they're like, you know, the show they're trying to get you to watch.
So before we actually dive into the, you know, new shows, there was a bit of anime news. We don't talk about the news that much on here anymore, mostly because it gets stale pretty fast, you know, by the time we're recording an episode. But I think we were both really excited to see some Macross news.
And like actual Macross news, not just like, you know, like, and the news about Macross in the U.S. is still Harmony Gold sucks. All right. See you guys next time.
Yeah, this is actual movement. I can't believe it. I think this might be the last of the, like, never happening list because so much of that list has actually, you know, like, we've actually gotten releases, and, like, this might be the sort of the last big ask that people have been, you know, clamoring for and that was always sort of out of reach. And now we potentially, we don't know how soon or, like, any of this might come to pass, but we might actually have access to the entire Macross library. Very soon. Please be soon.
Yeah, so Harmony Gold and Big West reached some kind of agreement where Harmony Gold will finally not block the English Western release of the original Macross series. I mean, you can speculate why. I'm sure there are about a dozen mecha podcasts that you can find that could go into more detail of, like, either by research or by, like, speculation. I mean, personally, I just think that, like, the Robotech is fizzled out enough that they kind of possibly want the infusion of Macross and Macross materials to revitalize it, but, you know, that's just Al's off the cuff. You know, take it for, you know, the napkin note thought as opposed to, like, in-depth research that it is. And, like, the deal isn't fully, like, revealed of, like, what titles we're getting, how much, you know, everything. But, like Kate said, it is major progress. Like, the fact that we could get, like, a Blu-ray release of Do You Remember Love, that we could get a new updated release of Macross Plus, that we could get any kind of U.S. release of, like, Frontier.
How come you haven't mentioned the most important Macross series?
Macross 7?
Hell fucking yes! I was like, this means, even though it doesn't mean this, I was like, this means I can own Macross 7! Like, this is what this means! This means Macross 7 will get an official release! Who knows if that is actually true, but that's what this news meant to me.
So what you're really saying is, you really, like, need to hear Planet Dance again.
Oh, fuck you! I will forgive my hatred. I will forget my hatred for Planet Dance if I get Macross Blu-rays.
And, like, Frontier seems like one that will almost certainly get put out because it's new enough, it still has enough of a fan base and a positive reception.
I don't know what you're implying. I don't know if you're implying that Macross 7 does not
attract the largest fan base. I was actually being more disparaging to Macross Delta than anything else.
I am also looking forward to, hopefully, getting a re-release of Macross 2. Because I'm, like, one of five people that actually likes Macross 2. So I would really love to be able to own that.
And, I mean, Animigo put so much work into remastering the original Macross series. Like, that coming out again with all the work they put into it would be very nice as well.
Oh, man. Blu-rays of that just is... this is really exciting. It's big.
And I mean, I know, like, everybody on Anime World Order and a whole bunch of other just hardcore Macross fans, like, can taste the Do You Remember Love Blu-ray.
I think that will be the first release. Mm-hmm. Just to kick it off. That's what I would predict to be, just because it's a one and done. It's an incredibly well-animated movie. It's just, like, 80s as hell. And, like, I think there will be a lot of energy if they, you know, if they put out a really amazing release of that.
Yeah, I would say the two big ones that I feel like they start with would be Do You Remember Love and Macross Plus. Just because, you know, Do You Remember Love, like you said, one and done, big things, big reputation. And, you know, just Macross Plus has so many names that people remember, and it hasn't, you know, it had a distinct foothold in the U.S. fandom. So I feel like that one would be a pretty easy sell. I'm like, here's remastered! Yoko Kanno, Shinero Watanabe, all your favorites!
I hope that they also use that carnival voice that you just used, Al. I think that, like, in a
win
little, like,
big
trailer.
Prizes! Test your luck.
Yeah, I, you know, like I said, I just feel like I don't know what people will be asking for past this point. In a certain sense, it's like once these things actually come out.
I guess at that point, it's also like, do they like bring up the less popular stuff like Macro Zero and Delta? Where like I assume they just test the waters with the more popular ones and then say.
I mean, I feel like I think it's just a matter of time. Like those, I don't think will be the first things that get released, but I almost feel like they will release everything just because there are enough people who will buy all of it just to have all of it. I think kind of how we're having Gundam, you know, like not every Gundam series is the best, but I think that we will basically just get a release of everything eventually. I think we're going to have to, you know, if all of this comes to pass, I think we will have to do an episode down the line that's sort of, once we get some of these releases, you know, just kind of delving back into them, maybe not fully. Like, I don't know if I'm committed to watching all of Macross 7 again, like, but... You know, just diving in a little bit and doing something with remembering all these shows and, you know,
watching moments. All your favorite simple scenes where she goes, ah!
Yeah, exactly. So look forward to that, everybody. And I would love to know what our listeners' favorite Macross is. If you have, you know, like, or if you've never seen it, that seems slightly impossible, but I guess that's a thing. I'd love to know, like, is there one that's like just really special? Okay. All right. Moving into the future. To new shows of the season. So, naturally, we have to start with any detective/mystery series. That's just the proper way to start any of these seasonal reviews. And, you know, got a lot of good offerings this season.
Plus, Kate, we're not going to be talking about it here, but we have the return of Moriarty the Patriot. Which really, is upping the amount of Sherlock content keeping the Moriarty content, you know, stable. And, like, since I, like, recently read all the Sherlock Holmes stories, it's interesting to, like, talk to my roommate about, like, oh, this changed, and, like, this is based on Scandal of Bohemia, but these things are very different.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have that show back. And I feel like the offerings, you know, I feel like that's such a, well, I mean, it's a brain battle sort of a series, shonen series, so it's not like super classic, but it feels like a more classic detective series than we usually get. So I think that it's fun to have that in the mix. With some of these other, you know, more reinvented, outlandish, I don't know, other, you know, just a little bit of, dare I say, odd offerings.
Mm-hmm. I see what you did there, Miss Segway.
So one of, I think, and I'm not sure if this show is going to go under the radar, because I do think it does have a little bit of a weird title and it has a weird premise, and so, you know, maybe people are not watching Odd Taxi, but we're here to tell you otherwise.
Because I had a very mistaken impression of what the show was going to be about, because I saw it and I thought, oh, it's going to be about a weird taxi driver and the crazy people he meets in his daily journey. And I was like, oh, this is... And they're all animals. And so I expected this to be like a 5 to 10 minute show. And I was like, oh no, it's a 26-minute show. So that could still work. And my roommate was like, all right, yeah, well, you know, whatever. Animal taxi driver and his odd, you know, customers. Well, let's give it a shot. And then we watched it and we were like, whoa, this was like, we should have read what the show is about because it is totally not what we expected. But oh, it's such a great way.
Yeah, I think, again, I think it's a little deceptive. Also, the sort of the eye catch image or whatever you want to call it is also, I think, probably contributing to what you were feeling, Al.
Because technically, there's nothing wrong. It is about a very odd cab driver and his unusual people that he drives around. But that makes it seem like a silly comedy series, whereas this is actually kind of a really interesting, like, multi-layered, interconnected drama where, like, all this guy's friends and customers kind of have these, like, super entwined story.
And I also felt it was, a little bit noir.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not, like, overtly, but I just felt like just the way that I think it's the way the cops sort of interact with the driver and the way that crime is sort of has its fingerprints all over everything, but not in a very overt way.
But building on what you say, I would also say that the cab driver, very much if you just don't look at his profession, fills a lot of the check marks for a noir hero, because he's kind of an anti-hero, but he still kind of has a like just heart in the core of his being, but he's very, very hardened and cynical by his life. You know, he's kind of, people view him as washed out, but you know, it's, you know, a lot of people then thereby underestimate him, but he's a lot cleverer. Even his interaction with his somewhat love interest kind of feels very much like a noir detective kind of love interest. So I feel like, I didn't think about it, but the minute you said it, like I was like, no, the main character, he's a taxi driver, not a noir detective, but he does very much feel like, what if a taxi driver were a noir detective?
Right. And it's, and I do think that it's not quite clear what his role is going to be in these interconnected stories, because so at the, you know, in this first episode, we learn about a missing girl. We learn about corrupt cops and the criminal underground. And so all of those things are probably interconnected. Like, that seems like all of those things have led to, you know, this probably this missing girl who was last seen in his cab or last known to be having been seen in the cab. So, like, I think those are all, you know, playing their part. But, yeah, I don't feel like we know yet how the driver, besides being a like a pivot point for a lot of characters, because you know he drives them around or he lives in their neighborhood or he goes to the same bar as them or whatever, or that's their his doctor, right? So like, how, I don't know what his role is to play in it, except that he's sort of where everyone's orbiting around. But I'm really think that the episode was so intriguing.
Well, also the big reveal at the very end of the first episode, I think, shows you that he's a little more involved with the whole case of the girl than you would first think.
Yeah, and I liked that. I'm not sure what to think about. There's just so many clues dropped. Like, because I knew it was an interconnected like mystery from what I had read, I was ready for it. So I was looking, there was a lot of moments of like things are happening in the background and it's like, oh, that is actually like a character that's going to show up later. And then like, that's important that they were at this place at this time, etc. So I'm really looking forward to kind of, you don't have to pick up on all of those things, I don't think, to enjoy it, but I am really enjoying that it seems like paying attention to all the little things is really going to add up, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it all comes together.
And it definitely seems like, from what I've seen, one of those shows that like rewards a second watch when you know all the mystery, like when you know everything that's happened, you go back and you like, oh, I didn't realize that that guy was actually like there, or oh, they passed that person who I didn't think was, I just thought he was some random animal, but now that I know he's an important character, and or oh, that's why I said that one thing that just. I think me and my roommate really just enjoyed the taxi driver's whole conversation with that kid obsessed with becoming big on social media. That was.
That was amazing. Totally agree with you, Al.
I think it's worth noting that there's just some just beautiful writing in the series, like just some great dialogue. It just seems like a really well constructed, like just intriguing show. I feel like when new anime for older fans comes back, if this like ends well, this is a show that's definitely going on there.
And I think building on that too is that I think there's some, like you mentioned, Al, the driver is pretty cynical and sarcastic, but I think he also, like, he gets in these really good digs that are aimed at at society. Like, I think there's a lot of commentary in here, which is just a nice touch. So yeah, I'm really enjoying this one. Really looking forward to watching more, and I hope that everybody else checks it out. I think it's a. I don't know. If similar to you, Al, people maybe haven't gotten the right impression of what it might be, but definitely something different.
So, Kate, how many wishes did you make on the monkey's paw before you realized how just the existence of Pretty Boy's Detective Club is that you found the monkey's paw and said, I wish there was a show called Pretty Boy's Detectives Club, and one of the fingers on the monkey's paw closed and this show came out?
You're right. Everyone blame me. It's my fault. I brought this into existence, and I have to take responsibility for my actions.
Because I watched this show because I thought, all right, there's no way Kate isn't watching this show. And then I was 5 minutes in and I realized, wait a minute. I recognize this like visual style, this overly pretty but like weirdly kind of hollow and flashy style. And I looked it up and I was like, ah, it is Shaft. It is Shimbo. But then I looked down and I realized, ah, the monkey's paw was complete because this was also a show written by Neo Ishin. And then I like tried to like tell, like I was gonna ask Kate if she wanted to know about the show before she had watched it, but it turns out as I was writing that, Kate had started the show and then only replied to my message after she had watched it and the truth was known to her.
I tell you, there was a lot of just very weird coincidences going into this show because, multiple people asked me basically, do you know anything about this show? And I was like, what do I need to know? It's called Pretty Boy Detective Club. It might be terrible, but obviously I'm going to watch it. So what else do I need? Why do I need to know anything else? And then it was like, what a fool you were to go into this without eyes wide open. The other component of what you were talking about, Al, is that not only is this Nishi Oishin, but it's also a series that the novels that he has written are licensed in English, which means that unequivocally they're like buku bananas and not like normal detective stories. Like, that just pretty much guarantees that it's not like regular detective stories. So yeah, there's just like no hope. I have zero expectations now. I tried to watch the second episode, but the subtitles were all messed up, so I have not actually finished it yet.
I'm sorry to derail things, but like, I remember, I forgot what, I was watching some show. Oh, it was that, I was watching a few episodes of the, like, you know, what if, a character from the End Dungeon, went to, you know, the starter town. And, like, for several days, they only had the Spanish subtitles. And, like, and was this on Crunchyroll or Funimation?
That the Pretty Boy Problem. That's what I should call this show. Funimation.
Yeah, I was just like, man, with, like, them being Crunchyroll and Funimation now having the same parent company, I feel like they're already kind of like, doing things right the best way. Like, how much competition do we have? Now that they even have, both of them are in the same competition, so they have less main company. I mean, they still have Hulu and Netflix and the such, and Amazon Prime to some degree, but they have, like, no major competitors. I'm really worried about the service of both of those companies going forward. I just wanted to mention that, because I haven't watched the second episode yet, so I didn't realize that the subtitles were messed up, but, like, just hearing that just makes me nervous about these streaming platforms.
I know. I feel like, to continue what you're saying, Al, I feel like I have, in the last year, run into a lot more problems frequently of, like, this show's episode isn't up, even though it is up on their, like, website, but it's not up on the app, or, like, oh, the subtitles don't work, or whatever. Just, like, running into a lot more problems than I feel like I used to. In this case, basically the first, like, 2 or 3 minutes have subtitles, and then it just disappears, basically, and there's no subtitles at all. Anyway, so, I liked how you were describing, you were, like, 5 minutes in, and then, you know, it, like, dawned on you, and, like, it's so funny because it took a long time for it to dawn on me. It's like I was ignoring it, or, like, willfully ignoring it, but I was writing notes, and, like, all the notes make it clear. It's just, like, I'm, like, weird nonsensical philosophy being spouted. Lots of wordplay, like, various animation styles, frenetic. Like, all of these things are, like, signature. But somehow I was like, huh. The thing that I will say that I did enjoy about the episode. Well, wait a minute. Well, no, I think this will describe, I feel like I haven't described the plot of the show, but I'm about to with this analogy, which is, this to me is just Host Club, but they're calling themselves Detective Boys, because it almost has, like, a very similar, like, it has a very similar feel. I feel like it has a very similar setup. And I also think that from the opening, it's a little unclear, but it also looks like this, the main heroine becomes either a detective boy or, like, joins the club as a detective boy. So, like, all of those things, like, it just has a lot. And, like, the kind of the setup of the first episode is they want to help this girl find this star, and they're like, we're going to help you do it, and like we're going to find it, we're going to be detectives and figure this out or whatever. But it feels very much like similar to Host Club, where it's like somebody comes and then they help them with a problem that they have that's like an internal problem. It's not actually an external, or it's like, oh, it might manifest in this way, but it's really about like what I need or whatever. And so it feels a little bit like that. And I don't know, but because I haven't gotten to see sort of the result, like I don't know if that tracks, that it's going to stay that way. But I feel like that's sort of how the first episode felt as far as like the structure of it.
I mean, so yeah, it's worth mentioning that like each of these detective boys is obviously super handsome, but also just very much like goes into kind of like this weird niche. Like one of them's an artist who hardly ever talks. Apparently like he only ever talks like once per story. And then there's like the like super like blonde shoda leggy detective. There's the main guy who's obsessed with aesthetics, who's basically Tamaki, but like somebody's weird fan fiction parody version of Tamaki.
As a Tamaki fan forever, I'm gonna have to say yes. Doesn't hold a candle to true Tamaki.
It feels like somebody's weird, like hyper fixated on like Flanderization version of Tamaki rather than actual Tamaki. And knowing Niyoishin, that might actually be his goal, to make like a like over the top parody version of that character. I'll let you mention like the one detective that I didn't mention of the group that will probably, if
wait,
anyone,
you forgot two.
Oh yeah, I don't remember the other one.
There's the one who has the really long hair, who's like very elegant.
Ah,
and then there's
the one that, if anybody makes you continue watching the show, it would be him.
Oh, and then there is the best character in the story, which is like delinquent chef. I was like, I'm sorry, red-haired delinquent chef. I was like, okay, fine. I'll watch another episode just to see. Also, he seemed to be to interact the most in an actual way with the heroine. So I was like, I don't know what the relationship is here, but this is okay.
All you other ones can fall off a bridge and die. I'll watch a show about delinquent redheaded chef detectives.
Like, put all these things together. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I just... It's... I don't know. It's a lot. You know, like, it's sort of like an overwhelming kind of show, I feel like. And I know that a lot of people really love this aesthetic. And there were moments where I really liked some of the change in animation. Like, I really liked when they were doing the backstory and it was in this sort of very, like, sketchy style. I thought that was, like, I really liked that. But, yeah, it's a... something that I don't appreciate, and Al alluded to that he doesn't either, I guess, but like, is that a lot of times this feels like it has a lot of flourish just to have it, and it doesn't really serve any purpose. And like, a lot of people just like it. It just looks pretty or whatever, but I find it like annoying.
Yeah, I sometimes find that it rings a little hollow, like it seems like it's flash to cover over substance. Before we go on, I just want to mention it is yet also another example of this weird anime thing of people who really want to become astronauts because the main girl wants to become an astronaut. Like, I feel like, I guess I just can't think of that many, like, Western series where, like, the character's main goal is to become an astronaut. I mean, it would be cool if that was, like, a more viable and real career path, but it just seems like anime really, like, it came up in Toradora. I mean, not even counting something like Space Brothers or, but it just seems like a more common than you would expect thing in anime of characters who really want to become astronauts.
I never noticed that before, but I do see what you're saying. Because it doesn't come... I feel like it used to come up a lot in the 90s in America. Like, when I was young, I feel like it was a really popular thing. But I don't... Yeah, I don't see it as much anymore.
It has stayed popular in Japan. So, the next series that only I watched, which is an interesting series called Shadow's House. And so, this is a series that I wonder if people who like the first episodes are going to like the last episodes and vice versa. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So, it starts with this girl wakes up and she puts on a maid outfit and she goes upstairs to this room where there's a girl who looks very similar to her, but she's made of shadow. And she has a very fancy, like, daughter of nobility's outfit. And you basically learn that this unnamed girl is a servant to the shadow creature named Kate. And she's supposed to be a living doll made to, what do you call it? Look, Kate, as far as I can tell, if nothing else, the curse of the character named Kate for you is this Kate is actually nice and is like the nicer noble that lives in the house. Because you usually, I thought, if I'm wrong, the curse of Kates is that, what do you call it, when characters are named Kate in anime, they're usually terrible, which just, you know. But this one, she seems to be nice. She seems to be like on... Her and her servant seem to be like the protagonists of the series. And so when we meet some of the other nobles in the house, she seems the nicest of them. So, and so, so the shadow, so these doll, these living dolls are made to serve these shadow nobles who create soot as they, when they either get very emotional or when they sleep. So the maids are there to clean up all the soot, and there's some implication that they will also become the faces of their masters and that they're both training towards this. And so the first episode is basically Kate and the servant who eventually gains the name Emlico, like learning about each other, becoming friends, and, you know, her learning her duties as, Kate's servant. But there's very distinctly an undertone of, like, what exactly is going on here. Like, Emlico has no memories before she woke up to become Kate's servant, but she almost has like a programming in her to do so, and she knows nothing of the outside anything outside of the Shadow's house. And we see from the opening that there are a bunch of other nobles who live in the house, and they also have shadow servants that look like them. And there's a very, like, there's a lot of, like, silly music cues, and this is very, like, slice of life, and, oh, that goofy Alnico. But there's also a lot of hints that there's something very more sinister going on, and that, like, Kate might be nice, but a lot of the other servants, the other masters in the house aren't, and there might be some sinister stuff going on. So, like, there's this thing, like, it's supposed to, like, I feel like the first episode is supposed to endear you to Kate and Elmico, but also introduce that there's definitely a more sinister mystery and darker things going on. So I feel like people think this is going to be, like, a slice of life comedy about King Elmico, blah, 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 and their funny master-servant dynamic. I think they're going to be disappointed by the end, but it's strong enough that the people who want, like, the creepy mystery might get turned off by the silliness of the, like, opening episode. It's a little, I'm curious to see, like, how many people love the beginning and hate the end, or love the ending, but, like, really had to get through a lot to get to the ending. But, there is definitely, like, a little bit of, like, not overt horror, but definitely, like, this creepy, uneasy feeling all the time. And there is, like, definitely a mystery on, but, like, it's very, seems like it's going to be a slow building, like, you just get little pieces every while, every few episodes. Definitely interesting show. And as my roommate put it, it feels like, because it's the same studio that did Promised Neverland, it's like they wanted to, like, because it kind of has a lot of the Promised Neverland aesthetic. It feels like they wanted to, like, continue on with that aesthetic with a new show. That's also worth mentioning. I think we're going to continue watching it just to, like, see how the mystery plays out and, what is going on. I do think it, if nothing else, has an interesting style with, like, the, you know, like, since Kate can't really, like, express herself, the only time, like, you ever see any expressions a lot of the time is when she creates soot. And it kind of has this kind of almost storybook creepy feel to it. It's, I don't know. It's interesting, but definitely not a show that's everybody's taste.
I was worried. One of the things that, because I was, like, like, I was looking at it, but I was worried that there was too many creepy dolls. I was like, creepy dolls? I don't know about that. So I like, shied away from it.
Well, it definitely wants to have that kind of aesthetic. So it definitely, like, it wants you to get that impression. I'll say that much.
I mean, you don't get a lot of really strong horror in anime. Okay, every once in a while you get, like, a very...
But I feel like anime works sometimes a little better with this kind of soft horror, where it's more about the uneasy feeling and, like, the growing, like, disturbing than, like, kind of a more traditional horror.
All right. So the show I want to talk about that is, I wouldn't call, it's not horror, and it's not a detective show, but it definitely has, like, a core mystery, and it's a mystery series. And after I describe it, I think you will also, I will compare it to something, but I think you'll be able to figure out what it will be compared to after I talk about it. So, Tokyo Revengers is about Takemichi, who is, it's 2017, and he's just not really happy with his current life. He's, you know, working part-time, and he's just feels like he's a little bit maybe stuck. And he's watching TV, and he learns about the death of someone that he knew. And they die in this, like, bout of gang violence. And so he's like, oh, wow, that makes me think about, you know, like, the past and whatnot. And then he's on a train platform, and somebody pushes him in front of a train. And then he wakes up in 2005 in the body of his middle school self. And it becomes sort of this time-traveling mystery of, like, what happened in the past to his friends that brought them to the place in 2017 where they died, and, like, what is all the things leading up to that, and, like, what has he forgotten about his childhood that, like, has led to this? And, oh, did I mention that they're time-traveling delinquents, so, like, get on board. I don't know yet if it's, like, if he will be jumping between the times or he's in the past, but he, like, remembers his, you know, his adult self, so, like, he remembers the future, so he's in the past. And, of course, this has become very popular. Like, there's a lot of anime and manga about that happening.
So what you're saying is the series that you're comparing this to is Precure Alamode?
Oh, yes. Good job. You got it. So obviously the series I would actually compare it to would be Erased. So it has, so also, like, one of the people that also died, like, in the news story was, like, his former girlfriend. And so, from middle school. So it's like, you know, he's going back and he's like, gosh, did I really even know that much about her? And, like, he is, like, a low level delinquent. Like, he wants to be, you know, like, more important than he is. And, like, his little group kind of gets their asses kicked in this first episode, and it sort of, like, sets off this chain of events. And so it's like, how does that then get them to the future? And, like, how can he change? Now he's, like, conscious of it. So he's like, okay, well, how do I change this? So I really liked the first episode. I thought it was really intriguing. Obviously, delinquents. And then also just, you know, it's like somebody pushed him in front of a train. So, like, what is happening? And, like, does somebody know? Is that himself? Like, is he himself pushing himself in front of the train because he know, you know, like, some weird time loop thing? Or, like, did somebody try to kill him? Or, like, you know, like, what is the significance of all of this in the future?
So what you're saying is, I liked Erased, but what I always was missing was more delinquents. And then the monkey's paw was like, all right, I gave you Detective Boys Club, and that was mean, so I'll give you this as to make up for it.
Yeah, are the only cool? Problem is, like, we have to see how it ends, because it could be, you know, could go in terrible ways.
Oh, no, like, the monkey's paw closed twice.
Monkey's paw! But yeah, I definitely, you know, I had a lot of fun with it. I really liked Erased. It got, like, a little, you know, maybe went some places or whatever that, like, but I still, like, overall really enjoyed that experience, and it had, like, a great atmosphere. And so also, I just want to reiterate that it's not just him that's a delinquent. Like, literally every main character is, like, a delinquent.
Kate, you're just tempting that monkey's paw to close, aren't you?
It's ready to fuck me over, for sure. But I've only seen one episode, but I obviously really enjoyed it, had a lot of fun with it, and I'm looking forward to more, and, you know, recommend checking it out.
Kate, you said that we were talking about the future, or at least the present, but this is clearly a lie, because on this list of new shows we're talking about is Battle Athlete.
Yes, we've gone all the way back. Oh my god, maybe we're in one of these anime where you time travel to your past selves. So we've gone back to our 90s anime selves and are watching Battle Athletes.
It's Battle Athletes Victory Retry.
A restart, I think.
Restart, yes, correct. I think I always found it interesting that you liked the Battle Athletes OVA, but hated the TV series.
Hated is not the right word. No.
Disliked.
Didn't like as much. That's all.
And I like them both. This is, I think it's, as far as I can tell from what I saw of the first episode, a sequel to the Battle Athletes Victory TV series. Just by certain little clues that we see from the episode that, like, but it also seems to be, like, an attempt at, like, a reboot in a way. It's, like, it's one of those, like, sequels that's also a, like, backdoor reboot that's become very popular with, like, Western franchises.
Yeah, I think that I got the same impression, Al, that, you know, if you've seen Battle Athletes or any other versions of Battle Athletes, you can pick up on things that connect it. But it's not asking you to do that. It's not like asking you to do the work necessarily to know those things. But it, like, the, you know, Kanata, like, is clearly related to Akari because she looks exactly like her. So,
well, also, what do you call it? If you look at the they had a point where they had, like, all the, they, like, think about, like, all the previous battle, you know, battle athlete, you know, supreme battle athletes. If you notice, the last picture is Akari from Battle Athletes Victory. I mean, you don't see her, but her damn hair shape is so, like, unmistakable that it's like, yeah, that's Akari. And the way she talks about her grandma, I'm sure that her grandma will turn out to be Akari from Battle Athletes.
Absolutely. So for those who have never seen Battle Athletes, this is a series about, like, it's basically sports in space and, like, you know, they go to an academy that, like, is a training camp, and then there's these, like, intergalactic competitions, and different people from different planets come, and so there's, like, a big cast. It's sporty, it's friendship-based, and sometimes reveals other things that are going on in the universe.
Well, this time they have, like, the evil council of, like, sports Illuminati.
That seems more real than, like...
What came at the end of Battle Athlete's Victory?
Yeah, like, that, no, it's like, oh, that seems legit. Like,
I mean, every story I've heard about FIFA, it makes it basically seem like, oh, so this is just space FIFA. Not even exaggerated space FIFA. Just what if FIFA lasted long enough to get into a place where we had colonies on other planets? This is probably what FIFA would just be like.
And then, like, the other kind of drama in the first episode is Kanata is kind of this from, you know, she's from, like, a small country community, so more of a rural area, so she's not used to, you know, kind of a classic, like, I'm not used to the big city.
Sure is crazy.
Exactly. So she's this sort of fish out of water, and she's also, like, very, like, trusting and friendly, and so that, like, gets her into, like, a little bit of trouble at the beginning of the story, and then also lands her a friend and roommate. I thought I was doing something interesting with Shelly, who's the friend that she meets, because she has Shelly has prosthetic limbs, and so like they bring like other characters bring it up in a negative way, and then like it's addressed in the show. I thought that was interesting that they were, you know, like going after a bit of ableism, which I thought was, you know, like haven't really seen that. So I was, and I wasn't expecting that since the series is pretty
fluffy.
Yeah. And I, and not seeing they addressed it in a really serious, like, amazing way, but I thought it was like interesting that they at least like brought it up, and like it seems to be an important piece of that story. So
I thought they handled it in a fairly decent way. Once again, for a show that is Battle Athletes Victory Restart, I was like, yeah, I didn't have high expectations, so you met them, Battle Athletes Victory Restart. I don't know, it seemed fluffy and fun. I think, I'm not sure how much other people would get out of it. It, like, I think I'm old enough that it tickled the right amount of nostalgia for a series that I had generally fond memories of. That I'm like, I like literally watched it and I'm like, I think I enjoyed that more than I should just because of nostalgia value. I really wonder if anybody who hadn't seen old Battle Athletes would have enjoyed this as much as I did.
Yeah, I don't know, because I did feel like, I mean, I really liked the, I enjoyed the original, but I did think that, like, I thought this was a little lackluster of a first episode. I didn't think it was really great. Like, the, it definitely, I would be curious to hear from other people who have never seen.
And I think I realized in my head I liked it a little more because of nostalgia, and like, so yeah, I wondered how much anybody who didn't have that kind of warm fuzzies would get as much out of it. Oh, and I will mention that also the girl from the moon is a of the beginner's religion, which is also the religion that Chris Christopher was from Battle Athlete to Victory.
And so she has, like, very similar hair to Chris, so.
And she has a weird animal companion, like Chris did. Although Chris had that huge cow that always followed her. This one is a little more mascot-y.
Yeah, yeah. So are you going to watch more of it, Al?
Yeah, because I, like I said, I probably have a dumb nostalgia that's making me like it more than I should.
It's funny because I saw some, or somebody showed me like some snippet review, I think, of, you know, like of somebody's review, and they were talking about like, wow, this show really likes the characters' butts and thighs. And they like it, I think the review implied that that's not how it was in the 90s. I was like, oh, you need to go back and watch. You are wrong. Like, it's not, the fan service is not over the top fan service in this version or in the 90s version, but it's there. So, sorry, your nostalgia is wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where, like, just the age that we live in, we notice it more. Battle Athletes Victory ain't that subtle, but, like, yeah, like you said, it was there in the 90s version. You just, You were younger and didn't notice it as much.
Or you just haven't seen it in so long that you don't remember, you know, that, like, but sorry, I'm here to tell you. Go back and watch. Well, I'll be interested to hear if maybe it, like, get, you know, finds its footing a little bit. I just didn't feel like the episode was, like, it almost didn't even feel like a first episode. I don't know, like, it just didn't come together, I didn't think, like, as much as it could have. And maybe it'll coalesce a little bit.
Well, I think it was supposed to be, like, the, you know, the two roommates, they get off on a bad foot, but what do you call it? The plucky heroine, you know, actually shows that she understands her roommate more than she thinks, and they become friends at the end. So I felt like, all right, that was like the goal. It was like conflict, and the end, they become friends, the end. Like, I felt like it accomplished what it wanted to do more than anything else, which was, you know, set this up as the main pair of, like, friends and kind of introduce some minor characters as well. But once again, I feel like I definitely, like, if anybody is, like, you know, anybody listening to this, I definitely also have some rose-tinted collars, so, you know, take my review for having those rose-tinted glasses and, like, listen to Kate's review as a little more sober review.
I will say I did really like the whole, like, sequence and joke about how, like, Kanata is wildly strong because of her background. Background, I thought all that was really funny, and I thought like everything they showed with that. So like, I feel like there were moments. So if they can just figure out how to keep
focus
it together,
more on its strength.
Yeah, I think it could be fun. You know, I don't think it was terrible or anything. I would be interested to see if you feel like it gets, you know, better as it goes. So. All right, speaking of sort of, like, retellings or, like, bringing things back from the past, we have, I don't think you're supposed to say the SSSS part of Dinozenon, but this is part of, like, the Gridman universe. But you also don't really need to have seen any Gridman to watch Dinozenon.
Can I ask a quick question if you know the answer to? Because I forgot to look this up. Is this series based on the planned but never executed sequel to Gridman?
I have no idea.
Okay. Because I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, they were going to do a sequel to Gridman where the villain from Gridman, because he gets, like, reformed at the end, was supposed to be, like, a main character in that, like, do you remember that little short that they made? Like, Trigger made this little short that was, like, the thing that inspired and got Gridman made. It was, like, for, like, an animated expo or something. And it, I know, had the premise of it was like that whole idea that the villain from the original series becomes a hero, and that's what that whole, I think it was like Gridman Become a Hero, I forget the name of the short, but yeah, I forgot to look up any details if this was like had like took any of ideas from like the scrapped sequel to Gridman. Or if this is just, you know, Trigger playing with the Gridman universe since, their Gridman anime did so well.
As Al said, this is the new Studio Trigger show. So it has, you know, that style. It's got a lot of energy. And I actually didn't, I kind of only sort of watched the Gridman anime, so I can tell you firsthand that, like, you don't need to have watched that to watch this. And so in this series, there are kind of there's a group of people who, each of them is going through something. That's sort of how I saw this opening, which is like one of them's going through a sibling death. One of them has, like, their mom is dating somebody that they don't really like. Unemployment, not going to school for whatever reason. And also, and then there's just like the guy who is like, I'm a kaiju user, but I'm having some troubles. So everybody is having some troubles, and big monsters show up. Big robots are needed to fight big monsters. But in this case, the robot is also dino robots, which, in my opinion, already makes it like 10% better. And so, there's like a kaiju cabal of, that are summoning monsters, and we don't know how that's connected to everybody, and also everybody's like feelings and how those are that'll be connected to the story. But it's very like, you can tell really from the first episode that like all the emotional baggage is going to be important, but we don't know how yet. But then also there are robot fights with giant monsters.
I this is neither here nor there, but I just wanted to mention it because it immediately popped into my head. I also like how everybody gets an extremely toygenic little robot that they transform into a big robot, and then all those big robots transform into, they can combine in various ways to become other robots, and then they can all combine to become Dianzong, which then can transform into dinosaurs. Oh, also, Kate, was I the only one who got major Kamina vibes from the guy who's the kaiju user, who's kind of like the guy teaching them all about it?
Oh, interesting. I really like him. Like he is hysterical. Like he's so funny. And like I've watched a couple episodes. I don't know how many episodes you've watched, Al. But like the second episode, so good. Like it's just this I feel like this series has a lot of really good comedy moments. And I really am enjoying the dynamics between the characters.
I'm just super worried that they're gonna kill him off like halfway through the series,
I
and
mean,
like,
probably, but I'm prepared
or
now.
having like little cousin take his place if little cousin doesn't become evil, which is also one of the things like I'm possibly getting a hint at from the opening.
Oh man, and speaking of the opening, oh, such a great opening. Great opening sequence, great opening song.
They got the band back for that did the first Gridman opening.
Oh yeah, somebody was telling me that, which I thought was interesting because I actually recognized this song or the singer or whatever. I believe they did a Ace of the Diamond opening that was a it's really good, and I was like, this sound is so familiar to me. Yeah, but it's like so good. Yeah, I just thought it had like a lot of really good vibes about. I'm just very curious to see how everybody's stories sort of interact and like how they are gonna. I mean, I'm much as always like in a robot show. I'm very interested in like the interpersonal like narratives that are happening here and like.
Because, yeah, there's definitely a distinct mystery about the girl and her sister's death and like what's up. And she's clearly carrying a lot of baggage about that in various ways. And
Yeah, and I think everybody has sort of mysterious circumstance. Like it's not like it maybe not as dramatic as that, but like I feel like everybody we know a something about them, but like I feel like it's all still a little mysterious of like what does it all mean? I also wanted to say that it's very interesting to me that 2 seasons in a row, there's been a show where a character is grappling with their mom, like being single and like dating somebody. And I just find that really interesting because I can't even think of like another example. Like, so I like that this is being brought up and that it like it's a factor in people's lives, but I just was like, I feel like parents, if they are single, like it just seems like, you know, they just exist. Like, and I mean, anime parents often just, like, exist or are dead or whatever, but, like, and don't factor in. But I just thought it was interesting that there's been two shows that is, like, no, like, your parent has, like, an outside life that you might not agree with. I don't know. I just thought it was, I was just surprised to see it twice, so back to back.
Do you think that this new series is set in the real world or the virtual world? Because technically the original Gridman all takes place in the computer world. Do you think that this story is also in that computer world, or do you think it's in the real world? Because I just feel like, you know, Kaiju Guy talks about, what do you call it? The person who gave him Dinazon. And I feel like it's either going to be Rika or Akane, and it just depends if the story is taking place in the real world or the virtual world.
Oh, or maybe he's from the virtual world, and this is the real world. But that's why, because remember, he like comes and he can't remember anything, yeah. And like, and also some, there's he's connected to those other Kaiju Genesis. We didn't make that up. That's actually what they call themselves. Yeah, so maybe.
But look, Kate, if you're going to have some bad guys, naming them the Kaiju Eugenicists was like, hey, these are the bad guys. Done. You're like, you don't have to. No moral ambiguity here. We have our villains. Thank you. But I feel like I cannot see Trigger not bringing back at least Akane or Rika. Even if it's just for like one episode, just that, like a cameo, or like, you know, a brief, you know, passing of the torch. I feel like they're going to bring back at least one of those two.
I just hope that they don't make it too integral.
Yeah.
Because I do think that so far, I think this is like, you can just jump in and you don't need to, you know, it's not that complicated. So far. Okay, speaking of super bad eugenicists, I know. Wow, what a segue. I want to talk about 86.
2020 and 2020.
I want to talk about the year that has been. No. 86. Apparently, also, this show is actually called 8686. Like, I was confused. And also, in my heart, I just call it 86. And, like, because of initial D. And I'm like, I know that that's not what it is. But that's what I call it. But so this is a series that is about like it's like that kind of an, I don't know if you would call it classic, but it's a concept that we've seen in science fiction a number of times, which is like there's a distant battlefront with soldiers, and they're being commanded from, like, a dominant group that's, like, far from the battle lines. So there's people who are essentially being bred to go fight, but they are not part of the dominant class. So, like, the world is divided into the 85, and then they're the group that goes and fights as soldiers and frequently, like, has huge casualties, are the 86. And the kind of the main, there's two sort of main characters. So there's one main character who is one of these commanders, and she is, we don't totally know what her past is yet, but she really feels like she sees the 86 as humans and tries to connect with them and like tries to like advocate for them in the military. And everyone's like, stop writing these reports about how people have died. Like, nobody died. It was just the 86. And so, like, she's kind of trying to bring some sort of change. And then she gets assigned to this unit that is, like, the super unruly unit that's, like, very known for, like, driving their commanders away and, like, also to, like, has driven them to suicide. And so she gets assigned to this unit. And then the other main character is sort of the head, like, of this unit of the 86 named the Undertaker. Okay, no.
How many steel cage matches does he have in the first, like, episode?
Only coffin matches. Okay.
Okay.
It's like, you know, but in Japanese, he's called the Shinigami. So, like, just think of that instead. And so.
So basically, Kate, it's like, do you want to be, which name you rather use is, are you more of a weeb or more of a wrestling fan?
You can be both. I think it sets up a really intriguing world. There's quite a bit of mystery because, you know, we don't know what's happened to the previous commanders. We also don't know, like, exactly how this world came to be, and we also don't really know fully, like, what the war is being fought over. You know, just, like, lots of intrigue about that. And then it also has kind of a, like, the 86, the group, when we meet them, has a little bit of, like, an Iron-Blooded Orphans vibe to them. Like, they're really, like, close, they're family, you know, but they're also in this really, really dangerous situation, like, at all times, essentially, at the battlefront. And then one of the things I really liked about the episode, direction-wise, was it has these really jarring cuts, but I think that they were done in a really nice way to really show, like, contrast and tension. I thought it was pretty well done. So I'm really interested. I think this is based on a light novel. I know, like, so surprising here. I think it has a lot of potential.
No, that seems really interesting. That is one I will, move to check out. Maybe I'll throw in a quick 2 cents next month and we can do some more of these.
And, speaking of contrast, I also just, also is, like, I think that, like, the commander woman, like, she seems to not have a lot of, like, she has basically sort of, through her advocacy, I guess, a lot of people are, like, reject her and, like, in the society, and so she doesn't have a lot of, like, support. And then I think it's also contrasting it with the 86 who have been put in this really horrific situation, but they have, like, this support system. I mean, but, like, multiple people die in the first episode. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's really, there's a lot of tragedy for sure in the story. So, like, I don't want to make it seem like, oh, they're a family, and that's so beautiful. Like, I just think it's another layer of contrast that, mm-hmm. that the series is trying to, like, put in there. So I'm interested to see how that works. Also, because the commander, thus, or, like, as far as I understand it, like, doesn't ever, like, go to the battlefront. Mm-hmm. So, like, they really only interact via comm. So it's like, I'm just interested sort of how the story progresses, like what that is going to, like, look like and, like, how that will affect the plot. I don't know. Like, it's just, like, an interesting dynamic, so I'm interested to see. But it's not, like, a series where they don't know, you know, like, the classic example of Ender's Game, where, like, you don't realize that you're doing, like, that, no, these are real fights, or whatever. This is all, like, all cards on the table, so... yeah, and it kind of makes me worried, though, like, how does this end? Where does this end? I don't know, but I'm interested to find out, so. Definitely think it's worth checking out.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, we really needed 2 Year Eternity. After, you know, 86, we needed, like, a lighthearted show about love, laughter, and, you know, positivity in life. Unfortunately, we picked this one.
Unfortunately, the next show is 2 Year Eternity. This is such a hard series to talk about, mostly because if you've never read the manga, which is great, but if you've never read the manga, you don't really realize what this is. Until, like, you don't even realize it by the end of episode one. Episode one is the prelude to the story. Like, it is not, you know, it...
Kate, it does, though, appropriately, whether you realize it or not, set a tone.
Oh, it does. But that's what's even worse about it, is because it's a slow descent, right? It's like... Oh, look, it's a nameless boy and his wolf in the wilderness, and it's about their, you know, their story of survival. Oh, it's not about that. It's about, I mean, much worse things.
I mean, what do you call it? So my littlest brother, James, kind of watches anime, and so every season he's like, oh, is there any shows I should watch out for? And I'm like, ah, a really good show that's coming out, 2 Year Eternity. But really, I'm not saying just watch this casually. Like, you've got to be in the mood for some depressing shit, James. Like, don't just be like, oh man, I had a really bad day at work. I think I'll turn to, no.
Eject.
Oh, man, I just got broken up with. I guess I'll try out that Your Eternity show. No. I don't want to be responsible for your death.
Yeah, guys, like, it's a hard show to describe, though, is the thing. Or, like, a hard series to, like, fully describe. But I will say this about the beginning. So, this first episode is really about this eternal being observing this nameless boy as a wolf, and he's his only companion, and he's basically his only witness to this boy's life. That's, so he's sort of, kind of, he's, it's an observer of life.
And it could imitate other, this being can imitate other things that it has seen and interacted with. But it's not like an omniscient, all-knowing creature. It's like it has to learn, like when it's a plant, it has to learn to be a plant. When it's a wolf, it has to learn to be a wolf, which is always a slow and kind of agonizing process for it.
And it's, did I say it's an immortal being? Anyway, it is an immortal, like it heals, like when it gets injured.
I just wanted to set up that you could think that it's like, ah, it's kind of like this omniscient god who's like just taking this form. It's like, it basically starts with almost no intelligence and has to like basically build its intelligence as it like observes more and more complex creatures.
And so, you know, the first episode, like we said, is really, it's almost like a self-contained story a little bit, and then it becomes the bigger story after this. But I think the important thing to know going forward, even though this part of it is you know, just sort of like an early stage, is that it's sort of a story about being alive and like the struggles, the lots of bad struggling things. Emphasis on struggling.
If you could eat tragedy, it would taste like to your eternity.
And I think it's, you know, it's like, it's very much concentrated life. That's what, like, what it is to be alive. And, like, I don't know. It's like, has a philosophical little bit, like, feel to it, even though eventually it gets to be a more, like, sort of fantastical story. But, you know, it's tough. And I'm also very interested, like, one of the things that I always think about, especially with a series like this, is, you know, it's been running for a while, so I'm wondering if maybe it's wrapping up and that's why they're making an anime, because it's not something in my mind that you're like, and the adventure continues. Like, you're gonna want to put like a cap on it, I think, you know, as opposed to be like, and we don't know, like, so my guess is maybe they're gonna announce the ending of the manga soon, if they haven't already.
Yeah, I think it's a show worth watching, but you have to very much be in the mindset for it. Like I told my little brother, you can't just, like, this isn't like, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen, we just pop it on and, that was a fun fight man show.
I know, it's not a casual thing. And, I mean, I even fell off on reading the manga because it's tough. Tough to do. And you wouldn't think that from her other uplifting series, A Silent Voice. Not uplifting series. I mean, you know, but it's also about some tough stuff. So if you thought that was tough, oh, this is just...
She was like, all right, you've cleared easy mode. Let's step it up a notch now.
Hold my beer. Like, so. But it is also beautifully animated. They've done a very nice job with the, you know, the adaptation. So. But it's also, again, it's kind of long. So I'm curious, like, are they going to start? Because this was basically, like, the first episode was this whole, and that was an extra long chapter when they started the story. So, like, I just wonder about the pace a little bit.
I think that, when you call it, I'm far more willing to throw, me and my roommate are far more willing to throw ourselves on the isekai grenades than Kate. And so, but if I see an isekai series that I think that Kate might like, I will then be go, all right, Kate, this is isekai, but I think you might like this one. So we decided to watch The Saint's Magic Power is Omnipotent. And then I watched the first episode, and I'm like, not knowing certain things. And I was like, hey, Kate, I think you should give this one a shot. I mean, you might not love it, but I don't think you'll hate it. Then I went in, and we looked and we're like, oh, the second episode's already been watched on the account. So Kit not only
watched the first episode. Did that really happen?
Yes. Kit not only watched the first, but she watched the second episode. And then we realized something about the second episode. And we're like, oh, yes, no, this makes perfect sense.
Oh, can't deny it.
So, the I'll introduce the story, and then Kate can easily tell you why she eagerly devoured the second episode. So there's an office lady, she's like definitely, in a job that grinds her down, and she finally leaves work, way late after pulling some crazy hours. Finally gets home, and it looks like she was gonna play some like video game to just like relax a little bit after such a day, and she gets summoned to a fantasy world where two girls from the modern age have been summoned, and this prince comes in, and he basically only wants to deal with the more conventionally cute, pretty girl, and just overlooks our plain, and Kate can see it, but the audience can't say that I clearly said that in super quotes. Our plain glasses wearing office lady. And it's like, ah, yes, conventionally cute girl will be the magic saint that saves our kingdom and just totally ignores our main character. So she's like stuck in this fantasy world and she's like kind of wants to go home and is just bored and doesn't know what to do. And so there's one guy who's like, in the kingdom is like, look, whenever our world is in trouble, we summon these saints. I still think you're very valuable, and so we'll put you up in the castle and take care of all your needs. And like, I understand the prince did you dirty, but like, please believe me that the land will need you, and that we understand the hardships that we've put you through. And so like a while passes and she's just bored out of her mind, not doing anything. So she goes on this little walk and finds this guy who's interested in herbology like her, and she goes on this like tour of this academy, and she's like, this, I am interested in this shit. I will, what do you call it? This actually seems like something fun to do. And she basically gets transferred to like the academy that researches, potions and herbs. And it turns out that she actually has a flair for making potions and healing magic. And, is starting to make connections with beautiful fantasy boys at this academy.
I have to say, Al, so just so everybody, Al was saying that, he sort of tests the waters for these things and lets me know, like, oh, well, maybe check this one out. So I did. And yeah, he totally forgot a really important
I
aspect.
didn't know that part. I only noticed it when my roommate, who's better at detecting voice actors, was like, wait a minute, I think I recognize that guy. And he looked it up, and then we were like, oh, all right, this explains why I can't watch the second episode immediately. Oh.
Like no joke, 100% that is the reason why I watched the second episode. So at the end of the first episode, our saint is called because there was like this big battle and a bunch of people got hurt and they need extra hands and extra potions and, to help the kingdom. And she shows up and of course, like the commander is like, on death's doorstep. And she's the only person who can save him, and he's this, he's all bandaged up, but like you can't hide the Bishonen, all right? Like it doesn't work that way. So he's this, blonde commander, and he speaks after she saves him, and of course she sort of becomes his, what, it's like a Florence Nightingale like sort of thing. Like she saves him and then he's like, this woman, but he's voiced by Takahiro Sakurai, and also lots of good voices in this show, but that is the most important one. And so he like shows up for like literally 5 seconds at the end of the episode. And I was like, well, we have to watch the next one because I need to know what his role is in this story.
CK, we could not instant detect Cloud like you could.
I have to say, I was just like, wait. Like, I was like, it was only a moment, so I'm not 100%. So I did look it up. And then I was like, oh, okay, yes. So the second episode kind of introduces him, and he is the Ice Knight whose heart she has melted or whatever. And, you know, he becomes, like, clearly from the opening and just the second episode, like, he's the, like, main love interest and, you know, plays a role in, like, her, like, getting further with the research institute. I don't know. But I have, so I have so many thoughts. But okay, let's just talk about Takahiro Sakurai for a minute. So here's an important point. One of the reasons I am interested in this show, but am also
wary.
I'm not wary. I actually found the show, unfortunately, a little bit boring. It was pretty slice of life. Like, I thought that in the first episode, they were kind of rushing through things to get to the interesting stuff. So I was like, oh, well, in the second episode, it's going to be like, there's a big battle. So now she's got to, like, got to do the things. And it was like, no, no, no. That was like a moment. And now we're going back to slice of life. So I'm a little like, it wasn't terrible, but it's just not my
speed
vibe. It's like a little too slice of life for me. And, like, but, okay, so Takahiro Sakurai is, like, my favorite voice actor. And he very rarely plays a love interest. Like, he's like, lots of other people, you know, he's like, some of my favorite characters. But it's not usually in a series where there's, like, a big romance or something. Or he's not, like, the lead character, so he's not in that romance. So, like, that makes me interested because it's like, oh, well, he doesn't, like, he would play this blonde commander, sure, but he wouldn't necessarily be in a romance with the main heroine in a story. So, like, that's intriguing. But I did feel like it felt like I wanted it to be Snow White with the red hair. Like, that's what I want it to be. But I don't feel like it's that competently written.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I did watch the second episode, but I'm not sure I'm going to watch more. Maybe one more just to see.
My roommate is really loving it because it just has this kind of, like, super casual vibe. Like, the reason you don't like it is the reason he loves it.
I don't know if the main heroine has, like, a personality. I don't know. Like, I was sort of like, who is she? I don't know. I feel like the casualness of it, yeah, is like, what's turning me, probably, like, making me less excited about it than I want to be.
What you're saying is, like, could you just make me, like a super cut of all the, like, super hot romantic moments with Cloud Knight?
But also, like, I don't know. I have to be real. Like, I didn't feel like the romance was, like, greatly, like, really greatly written in some way. It's sort of like, yeah, it's, you know, like, it's fine. Like, but I don't know. That being said, probably going to watch at least another episode. Just to check. I'm just going to basically, for the rest of the season, I'm just like, well, I just got to watch the next episode. Just to check. Just to make sure. So we'll see. We'll see how far I get or not.
Schedule and thirst. How they balance each other out.
But he's the best, you guys. That's why. But I'm also not the type of person to usually watch a series just for a voice actor. Like, I'm not that hardcore. So, like, We'll see if this breaks that streak.
That's fair, Kate. You're nothing else honest. So, the last show I just wanted to talk about was kind of an intriguing format. Is Let's Make a Mug 2. That's T-O-O. So, I made the joke, but I've never seen Let's Make a Mug 1.
I mean, when you were telling me to write it down, I was like, wait, is this a sequel? So...
So the story is, that, this girl, her dad loses his job as a salaryman. So him and his daughter move back to, the city where her mother is from, which is, Tajimi city in the Gifu prefecture. So it's a little bit more out in the sticks. And he opens up this cafe with his mother-in-law. And like the big appeal of it is they have all these mugs that anybody can drink from, and you can, like, they have a huge selection of like handmade mugs, and anybody who, you know, gets coffee at the place can choose which mug that they drink out of. And one of the girls like notices the mug and invites her to join the pottery club, and eventually realizes that the main girl's deceased mother was this famous, like, person who was, like, world-renowned for her pottery. And, like, it's like, oh, man, you really have to join the club. And the girl is intrigued and, like, kind of wants to, now that she found out that her mom was, like, actually, she just thought that her mom was kind of just into pottery, didn't know that she had like this big reputation. She kind of wants to join the club to, in a way, oh, and she finds out that the mom was part of this pottery club. She joins the club kind of to connect with her mom, who she kind of didn't know since she died when she was young. And like the, you know, it's the, like the girl who introduced her is very wacky, and there's some, you know, unusual members of the club, so it's kind of slice of life, but it's also kind of about it's another story about like a loss and kind of like connecting to the loss by like connecting to a hobby that the person you lost had. But it's also very clearly like a Gifu prefecture travel thing. In fact, every odd episode is an animated episode. Every even episode is a live action where they have the voice actresses go around the actual Tajime city and look at stuff that was in the episode or look at various things either in that city or in Gifu prefecture. And there is some loving, like, scenery porn in this series. So it is a... And Gifu Prefecture is known for its pottery. So clearly that's also why this was... Like, I think, like, some ridiculously high amount of, like, all, like, pottery in Japan comes from this one prefecture. I think it's like 70%. So, like, clearly that's why the girl's, you know, connecting through to her mom with pottery. So it's kind of like half slice of life and thing and half big travel commercial. But I just thought it was, it was like a fun series, and I just thought it was like, I thought it was worth mentioning that, like, more than stuff like Sakura Quest and stuff, like, they have a live action that's like, ah, look how beautiful the scenery is, and, ah, look at this shop and stuff like that. So it is naked about what its goal is.
I have to say, you've made me interested in already in going to Gifu Prefecture and getting some pottery.
So, like, your next trip to Japan, you might make that at least a one-day stop.
I was just looking up. I was like, oh, how do, like, how do you, what's the best way to get there? You know, whatever. So, maybe I'll check out the anime just to get a better sense of it.
So, what do you call it? Somewhere on the, like, producing board, someone's got exactly as planned.
You did it. So do you think you'll keep watching now?
Yeah, I mean, I if nothing else, I just find the back and forth a little intriguing. It just had a pleasant vibe. It seemed like a very, especially because, like, the wacky club leader has a distinct energy to it. So it isn't, like, totally kind of, like, with this one show we'll probably talk about next time, which, like, we'll probably continue watching, but, like, I think King would just immediately fall asleep. It still might be, this show still might be too slice of life for you, but at least it has a little pep to it. Like, the one we'll talk about next time, what do you call it, Super Cub? Oh man, Kate, that would put you right the fuck out.
I mean, I'm also, you know how you were saying, like, oh, I avoid the isekais and you check them out. Mm-hmm. I'm also really good at avoiding the slice of life. I'm like, nope, somebody will tell me if I really need to watch. Nope.
I'd have to think about it a little more if you should watch this one. I'll tell you right now, preview for my next one. You should not watch Super Cub.
Like Al said, I think we're going to save, you know, we both have some first episodes that we're still, like, trying to check out and whatnot. So I think we're going to do some more first episodes in the May Speakeasy podcast. So we're going to finish up tonight's episode with a couple of Winter 21 finales of series that we ended up finishing. So
we'll probably talk about more finales next month, but one that just stood out to me, plus I just had a really long discussion about it with my little brother, James, once again, was Jujutsu Kaisen. Man, we were just talking about how that is clearly the Shonen Jump show that they are throwing the money and effort in, because the animation on that boy is good. I think it's a fun supernatural fighting series, but some of those fight scenes at the end, Sakugagat blogs are going to be talking about for months.
That's like makes me want to go back and watch.
Because, like, the beginning animation was good, but clearly, like, this series is enough that they're, like, getting the people in and putting in the time, because some of those last fight scenes, like, I will just say there's a clap fight scene that just has some stellar animation. And, like, Like, the last, like, 4 or 5 episodes is just, like, just good fight scene after good fight scene. It is just, if you want to see some prime animation, that is the show to watch. I also really enjoy the characters. I think it's a fun series. It's just a solid shonen show. But I just had a, just the amount that me and my brother geeked out about, like, oh man, this cut and like, ah, this like little sequence, ah, it was a sight to behold. So I just wanted to point that one out.
That's definitely one that keeps popping up on my radar over and over again. And I think it's going to be my Demon Slayer where now that it's over, I'm going to just go watch the whole thing.
So I'm not sure if you're going to wait until the whole series is over, but the season is over. It is at least on break for a while.
Oh, I think I'll watch that then, because that's what I did with Demon Slayer. You know, it's going to have another, like, it's going to be, there's going to be more, but I waited until, you know, until everybody was like, no, it was great.
I think the main character will definitely appeal to you, because he kind of has, not a fully delinquent vibe, but a little bit of that, like, he's definitely, Yeah, no.
I enjoyed the first episode. Like, I thought it was, you know, solid.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy it. And like I said, the first half has really good animation, but on the second half, it is some prime stuff. Real nice. There's like only one thing, but I won't. That you'll be like Murder Girl a little about, but I'll let you get to that. I don't think it'll ruin it. It'll just be like a little Murder Girl. Actually, I wanted to just do one other quick thing, because I don't want to say too much about it, but I will just say this. So I finished the second season of Orphan. And I will just sum it up with this much, Kate. I think it was a little too lore heavy and dense for me.
So I feel like that means that most people would fall unconscious within the first half of the first episode. Like,
like that, like literally, I don't think... Like, everyone might not get my review, but immediately Kate, understands what Orphan Season 2 must be like. Like, I just feel like I've instantly conveyed how that... I don't think I could give you a more concise one-sentence summary of a series of where you instantly understand what it was like.
That's very worrying. That's like... like, guys, you don't just have somebody read the pages from the book aloud. That's an audiobook, not an anime.
So yeah, that's all. I'll just sum up Orphan Season 2. I don't think really anything more about it needs to be said. I'm masochistic enough that if they do a third season, I'll probably come back and watch it. But god damn it, that's...
I love how you were like, but I'll watch more of it. So to wrap up with another Supernatural series, I feel like everyone's talking about Jujutsu Kaisen, which it sounds like they should be. It's awesome. But I think the Supernatural series that I was really loving all season long was Kimono Jihen. And, you know, I think I gave a big, you know, big recommendation to the first episode. And, you know, it's about these three young kimono who find themselves in the employ of Inugami, who is voiced by, of course, Junichi Suabe, so very excellent voice casting here. But then they kind of go around the city helping out in these, you know, supernatural crimes that are occurring or mysteries that are going on. But I think a lot of the season is about, like, a lot of those bigger stories, you know, really revolve around kind of the personal connections that the characters have. And there's a big story with Shiki and his family and what, you know, kind of his past. And then the final arc of the season is about Akira and sort of his past. And I have to say that, first of all, later in this, I think when I first initially watched this show, I really felt like the characters were like 10. Like they look really young to me. Like they look really kid-like. But like later on, I think they said that they're like 14 or something wild where I was like, really? I had no idea. But even that is very young. And I have to tell you that this show is fucked up. Like, so, like, it looks like they look like very young kid characters. The shit that happens in this show is so messed up. Like, I was just, like, constantly being like, I can't believe that this is what's happening. Like, or, like, this is the backstory. Or, like, and a lot of it, I don't know about in the manga, but a lot of it is, they don't say everything outright, mm-hmm. right? They let the viewer kind of fill in the gaps a little bit, but it's clear, right?
I mean, I think the clearest one, I don't want to spoil too much, so, but you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Akira's brother and what is, like, nothing is shown, because that would be mega creepy and icky, but, like, it don't take too much to figure out why he's so messed up. And you're like, whoa! Like, even by implication, whoa.
Yeah! That's what I mean. And also, I actually kind of appreciated, one, the thoughtfulness of, like, not showing that stuff, because, like, that's problematic. Like, the stuff that happens, obviously, it's horrible that happens to a lot of people in here, but you don't have to show it. And I think that that is really smart storytelling. And also, for that final arc, I was like, I think I was in denial. Like, I was like, okay, well, they haven't said, you know, like, I was just sort of like, okay, you know, something weird's going on. Like, all right, what, you know, what is it? What is it? And it's like, okay, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. And then it's like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. And then, like, Shiki's past, like, with, like, what his mom went through is, like, oh my God. So I feel like it's almost, like, just the design of it and, like, the story, like, I think it'll trick you a little bit. But then when you go and you're like, oh, well, I wonder where this manga runs. Oh, it runs in Jump Square. What else runs in Jump Square? Chainsaw Man and, like, all kinds of, like, other things. So, like, it's where it belongs. Like, I'm like, oh, this can't run. Oh my. But I still, like, I thought the show was great. You know, I really love the character dynamics. I also love the humor. I think the humor in the show is really good. It has, like, a lot of funny moments. And then, like, the Kitsune girl, who's such an idiot. And then Kabane, who is also like such a good-natured idiot, and then them trying to like forge a friendship by being super dumb, like I found it incredibly amusing.
I also just like how the Kitsune girl is like, I'm gonna trick them, and they're like, you're not tricking. You're not tricking anybody. You're just lucky that this guy is such a, what do you call it, affable idiot, that he's going along with it. And I, as their mentor, just don't have like the energy to stop this and hope that maybe his good nature will rub off on you.
And I think Inugami also is like sees them as children, like is like these children, he's I think he's being like a good parent in a certain sense. He's like, these are kids and they need adults who care about them in their life to like help them. I feel like there's like I think there's a nice dynamic there. But I really hope that it gets a second season because, we kind of explore the backstories of the other characters, but then right at the end, it's like we're gonna go off and explore Kabane's past, and then it's like the end of the season. So, hoping that it gets another season. If not, I'm hoping that the manga maybe will get picked up.
I mean, having a US anime release really helps those things out a lot.
How did you find the show, Al?
I thought it was interesting. Yeah, like you said, it feels like one of those shows that like doesn't feel as dark until you think about what's going on, like a lot of the time. Like, once again, I think like the closest they come is the stuff with Shiki's mom. But once again, they don't. I feel like that one's almost comes close to showing stuff. Whereas, like, also with anything with Akira's brother, like, you don't even fucking want anything on screen with that. Just do all that by implication. But I mean, even stuff with like that office that they investigate when they introduce the vampire guy was pretty. I mean, like the shoe story was probably the one that had the best, nicest outcome.
Oh, you reminded me though. Also, there's like, if you haven't seen the series yet, one of the interesting things about like Kabane is that he has this, his body is like regenerates, so like, he can, and he also doesn't feel pain, so like he, gets injured a lot and like can do things that other people might not do because he, has this power. But like there's just a part where he loses his head and like it's super funny. And then it comes back up again. Like there I feel like it has a good balance. I don't think it ever felt jarring like when it was humorous and when it was very serious and like dark. So I thought that they just did a good job, but you're just reminding me, Al, of like there's just some really, really choice, hilarious moments. So, and yeah, I think this ended up being like one of my favorites from the season. So I really recommend it if you didn't watch it or didn't feel like you were that interested in it. I feel like it was solid.
Yeah, it's one of, once again, you already mentioned, but it's one of those series where, like, if you thought like the art and like the character designs were like, it's gonna be like Kitty Shonen.
Wrong. I mean, I would have been fine with that, but like, but no. All right, everybody. So in May, we'll talk about a few first episodes and a bunch more finales from the winter 2021 season, just to allow us a little more time for both of those. And yeah, stay healthy, stay safe, get vaccinated.
And if there was any show that you thought that we were going to watch, you can suggest it.